Before I read scripture today, I just feel I've got so much to be grateful for, particularly on this day, the other people who went with me to Guatemala this year, my husband Dan, Ignacio and Kate Salinas, Maria Moreno, and Andy Carter. Each one of them brought such invaluable gifts to this delegation, and I just feel so much love for them right now and want to express that. Our scripture passage today comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 43 through 46. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nathanael looked at him and said, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." Nazareth, where Jesus was from, was an agricultural town at that time of about 400 or 500 people. It was a small rural place. Bethsaida, from where Philip came, and we presume Nathanael, was a city. Have you ever noticed how many jokes there are in the city about people from rural places? Lena and Ole jokes, if you're from Minnesota or Wisconsin, hillbilly jokes, redneck jokes. Sometimes city people, that's us, think we're cleaner, smarter, more cultured than people in the country. Philip's from the city of Bethsaida, and I presume his buddy Nathanael is too. So when Philip said, "Hey, Nathanael, guess what? We found him, the one Moses and the prophets wrote about. His name is Jesus, and he's from Nazareth." It's not surprising that Nathanael thinks he must be joking, and he responds in kind, "Yeah, right. Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip responds, "Come and see." And the joke's on Nathanael because he soon finds out just how good Jesus is. We have a story in this partnership between University Church and Saka, and it's good to retell stories now and then. This story began a little bit like this scripture passage. Virgilio Vicente, who was originally from Saka, approached Dan Dale, a University Church member, in 1999 and said, "I think I've found them. There are rumors that my relatives and my neighbors have returned to Saka and have resettled there. Would you come with me and see?" Now, Saka is a small rural village of about 300 Maya indigenous people in the Cuchumatanes Mountains of northwestern Guatemala. During the Guatemalan Civil War in 1981 and 82, the Guatemalan army destroyed this little village, bringing helicopters, weapons, and training provided by the United States. About half of the people were killed that day, and about half escaped further up into the mountains or found their way into cities. After the 1996 peace accords, the people started to drift back home. Now back to our story about Dan and Virgilio. Dan went with Virgilio. He didn't say, "Can anything good come out of Saka?" He went with Virgilio, accompanied Virgilio, and saw that newly resettled village of Saka. And what they found was sobering. People were struggling. They were struggling to rebuild from the ground up. They were clearing neglected land that had been left there for 16 years. They were without running water. They were without adequate housing. They were without a mill to grind their corn to make their tortillas for 3 meals a day. The women and the children were grinding corn with a stone. Yes, the war was over, but life was still such a struggle. Could anything good come out of Saka after all the evil that had been done to it? You've heard from some of my friends who went on this delegation about how this partnership has been transformative and the good things that we experience in Saka. One thing that we've learned from this partnership, from our partners in Saka, is that hope is struggle. This may not sound positive, but from their perspective, if you are struggling, you are alive. If you're struggling, you haven't given up. When you stop struggling and stop caring what happens, that's a sign that hope is dead. Virgilio and Dan found a resilient community of people who had struggled to survive in the mountains, on the move in the mountains to evade the army for 16 years. They had depended on each other and built a strong community where they knew everybody's gifts and how that contributed to their ability to survive. They were alive. They had survived. They knew how to work together for the good of the community. What they didn't have was money for creating some of the things that would make a more stable life and that would make them have to struggle just a little less. They needed a water system. They needed roads. They needed a corn grinding mill. They needed metal roofs so that the rain wouldn't keep coming into their houses. They wanted their children to go to school, but there was so much work to be done. Many times the children had to help with the work. So Virgilio and Dan returned to Chicago. They were energized. They started building a partnership between Saka and University Church. While funds for projects were a part of that, they were always careful to emphasize all that we received from Saka in return for going there and to work for some measure of equality between the two sides in this partnership. We are equals in this relationship. We at University Church have accompanied this community for the last 19 years. That means we have walked with them not only as they have rebuilt their community, but we have watched them repopulate their village, no mean feat, celebrated births and deaths, and mourned deaths with them. We have affirmed all along the way the value of their Mayan culture and their humanity in the face of the deep racism that faces them, that is there in Guatemala against the indigenous people of that culture, of that country. This has prompted us to do some soul-searching on our own parts for the racism, the white racism, that exists in our own country. And we have returned every year to Saka with some new people because it excites them so much that they can tell their story to new people and more people will know what happened to them and the fact that they're still there. Since 1999, I count around 75 people that are related to University Church or its members who have come with us on delegations and seen the miracle of the resurrection of the community of Saka. Good things have come out of Saka. Good things have come from this partnership. I'm going to skip a little bit of what I wrote because I think my fellow travelers have described how accompaniment has changed both Saka and those of us who have gone on these delegations to visit. But one thing I'd like to add, we've learned a lot about building trust and about being loyal. Trust grows very slowly. For at least the first 10 years, the people in Saka did not trust that we would come back the next year. On the last night of every one of our yearly visits, one person after another would get up and say, "Please don't abandon us." They sometimes sounded desperate. Somehow it gave them comfort to know that we were there, that we knew they were there, that we had heard their story and were telling it back home, and that we would come back again. I'm glad to report that confidence levels are way up in Saka these days. Thanks be to God. No one has expressed fears of abandonment now for quite a number of years. We, on our side of the partnership, have surprised ourselves. We live in a culture that jumps from issue to issue so fast it's head spinning. But we've been able to be loyal to this partnership now for 19 years. We've surprised ourselves. Thanks be to God. This year, trust levels felt so solid, And it's allowing for increasing honesty between the two sides as we gather for community conversations. Neither the group Ninsak Ha nor our group needs to pretend anymore that we're perfect, or that we know all the answers, or that we don't struggle. They shared this year their anxiety about some divisions in their community, and they talked to us about what they were doing to try and heal relationships with people that were unhappy with them. We encouraged them in their efforts and said, you know what? We've never heard of a community that doesn't have divisions, and we have divisions in our community, too. We have to do that, too. They also had the courage this year to push back against us about why our partnership committee had not passed their proposal to fund a solar panel to go on the top of each of their houses and a battery pack in their house so that they could have lights. They had wanted lights so badly. They still want lights so badly. They've wanted lights for at least 10 or 12 years now so that their sons and daughters can study at night. We shared our anxiety. We shared our anxiety that we didn't know if we could raise that much money. Even though we're from a big city, our group is not that big. We also weren't sure that the system would work with the amount of cloud cover in Saka. They are, after all, in a cloud forest. The community responded that one house had already bought and was using this solar system, and it worked. They'd figured out how to install it. They figured out how much they could do with the electricity it produced. As a side benefit, the kids could charge their cell phones, which meant that they didn't have to travel to Uspantan to use the internet. They could do that from home. They also encouraged us in our fundraising efforts and said it might take years, but they thought we could do it, and they were willing to wait. The whole conversation felt, for the first time in my experience there, like group problem solving. Both sides were asking questions, both sides were giving answers, offering solutions, offering encouragement. No one side was dominating. There was equal respect. Good things come out of Saka. Good things come out of our partnership. Through our Saka partners' sharing of war memories, we've begun to understand the depths of the evil our country perpetrated in Guatemala when it overthrew the government in 1954 and installed a dictatorship that led to the Civil War, which lasted for 36 years. We are grateful that our partners in Saka do not equate us with our government, and it motivates us to keep struggling against this type of military intervention. We have faith that listening with empathy to their war experiences helps our partners somewhat, even if the pain they experience never entirely goes away. Mayan people over 40 still need to talk sometimes about what all the hardship and the death during the war years means for them, and how it motivates them to work for a world in which their children will not experience that kind of pain. One day as we were returning to a village, in the last few years we've been visiting all the other villages that send children to the school, the middle school, at Saka. We were returning from one of the villages called Argentina. It's about an hour and a half away from Saka, and they send 8 children to the Saka middle school. Jacinto, Lorenzo, and Santos stopped the van we were in at an overlook and asked us to get out. We got out of the van, we stood at the crest of the dirt road we were on, and we looked at the steep slope dropping down on one side into a narrow valley on one side of the road. Heavily forested mountains stretched out in all directions on the other side of the ravine and behind us as well. We were unsure why we were here, why had we stopped? So we waited. After some silence, one of the men spoke. Over there in the mountains, was where we lived in the forest, trying to get away from the army. We only had leaves to eat. Over there, where that flat spot is over there that doesn't have as many trees, that's where the army encampment was. We had to be so careful they didn't see us or find us. Right down there, right below us, under where we're standing, that's where Maria Guadalupe was shot in the arm by a soldier after she had gone down for water. Thank God she made it out. The memories continued like this for some minutes. We listened. Somehow being in the exact spot made it all so real for us. It was like going to Golgotha and seeing where Jesus suffered on the cross. But we also experience joy when we go down, as so many people have already said. There are so many people under 40 now who don't know anything about war. There's a lot of joy in seeing shared smiles and laughter. We love to hear the children laugh and play. One day when Maria and Kate stayed back to organize activities for the kids, we adults had taken a long walk with Saka community leaders to see where the spring was. They had relayed pipes for their water system. They wanted to show it to us. So we came back, and as we turned the corner around the community house, bunches of kids started popping out of the doors with these fake glasses that they had made out of pipe cleaners in a million different bright colors. And they were laughing and just having such a great time. Some of them, you know how kids look at adults and they try and imitate them? Well, they'd noticed members of our group wear these headlamps at night so we can get to the bathroom and figure out where we are, because it's very, very dark there at night. Remember? No electricity, no lights. So we've got these headlamps. The kids had made headlamps out of pipe cleaners with little headlamps on the front. It just made us laugh so hard. It was such a blessing to see them so happy. And we laughed, the goofiness and the liveliness of it all. Good things come out of Saka. Of course, there are continuing challenges in Saka that will need to be overcome through hope and struggle. Primary school teachers were on strike this year when we were down there. We saw them filling the central square on our last day in Guatemala. Their salaries have been cut to such a low point that the government doesn't even call them salaries anymore. They call them incentives to teach. Yet teachers keep teaching. They're keeping faith with the children. And they keep striking to challenge the government and its unjust policies that does not provide all of its citizens with what they need. Hope is struggle. I'm struck by the similarities between our countries as our own rural teachers are going on strike and trying to raise their own salaries. We attended an assembly with 72 middle school students from Saka and three other communities that all received scholarships from University Church. Some of their thank you cards are on the communion table this morning. This school once was only a dream, and we have seen it become a reality, a testimony to the power of faith. And yet, teachers still struggle to get paid. We found out this year that the teachers went from January to April without getting paid, and the government finally came through with their paychecks. The government is not loyal to its rural schools, sometimes delaying payments for months. Our loyalty in sending scholarship money helps to fill a little bit of that gap. Hope is struggle. We met with 7 of the 8 students at the high school level supported by University Church scholarships. This year, 2 of them are in an accounting track, 1 in computation, 3 in natural resources management, and there's one young woman who wants to be a doctor. Hearing about their dreams for what they want to do with their lives and seeing what the community has already been able to do gives us hope that they will succeed. And yet, unemployment is high in Guatemala. They will need to struggle to achieve their dreams. Even so, we have faith that good things will come out of Saka. This partnership lives out the faith that all God's children, urban and rural, are equal partners in working towards a world that better reflects the rule of God. We trust that each side of this partnership will enjoy equal respect and honor, and that we will struggle equally for this vision. We struggle in hope for a world in which no one need to be hungry, everyone can get an education, and we shall study no war no more. Amen.